Welcome to the Procreative Teaching Ministry of Reverend Charles Jibuno, the lead pastor of the Refiners Church. It is his vision to raise a generation of proof producers with an aim to reach the world with the power of God, one person at a time.
Okay. Father, anoint my lips of clay, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, enable me to speak your word with simplicity, with clarity. You promise to give us a mouth and a wisdom which the adversary cannot refute nor gainsay. Help me to speak with such wisdom and authority of words in the name of Jesus. Give me a mouth and a wisdom to speak a word to him or her that is weary, a word in due season. I thank you for everyone who is listening to me. Let their understanding be enlightened in the name of Jesus. Let their hearts be open to receive your word. Let faith be stirred up and let grace be imparted for action. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's our praise and testimony service is the last praise and testimony service for the year 2004. And it's been a wonderful year, hasn't it been? Amen. Regardless of the things that have happened around us, we have reason to thank God. Is someone with me? The Bible says in Psalm 124, verse 1, it says, if it had not been the Lord who had been on our side. Hello. And the truth is, if it had not been God who... Hello? If it had not been, God has kept us, preserved us. I was amazed when we had to go and pick our daughter from the park. She came in from Jos from school for the holidays. And I was shocked at the number of people who were joining. And I say, and we are shouting the economy is bad. Amen. Hello, we are crying, people are driving, and you see there are people who have traveled, some are on their way back, some are coming, and you know there are a lot of accidents on the road, but you are not one of them. There is none of us sitting here who has a relative that has gone. Talk to me. So we have reason to thank God. Talk to me. We have reason to be thankful. Amen. You see, too many times we are looking at our disadvantages that we lose sight of our advantages. That's why the songwriter says, count your blessings, name them one by one. So let me ask a question. From January till date, you were not on admission in the hospital. Can I see your hands? Wave to the Lord. Ah. You are not on admission. They didn't give you drip. You ate food, you put it in your mouth, it didn't come out through your nose. Let's give him praise. Do you know there were people who went to the bathroom, one misstep, 6 feet under? Okay, don't tell Lizo, you are in the presence of God. You know you took your bath every day from January to date. Let me see your hand. If you're not bath, we go no. And you did not fall down. You didn't break your neck. You didn't break your back. You see, as simple as that. I was listening to somebody's testimony. Hello? And the person said she had never thought it that important that you cannot pass gas. When she, I don't know what she said, she ate and then for like 4 or 5 days, She can't pass gas. She can't go to the toilet. Neither can she eat. When she managed to eat, she started thanking God. In short, she came out and gave testimony. But you eat every day. Okay, you say, I didn't get food to eat sometime. But when you eat, it went down. You know how many people have food but cannot eat it? No appetite. Once it enters their mouth, it comes out. Some years ago, they brought this lady to me. That I should pray for. Very beautiful lady. Very beautiful lady. Ushers, please attend to that, or I will say grace now and go home. I will just say grace and go. The word of God is too important for distractions. So they brought this lady, very beautiful. She had been sick. In that condition, she was still extremely pretty. So you could imagine what she would have looked like. Now, what was the problem? If she has a dream, and in that dream she's fed with food, nothing enters her mouth again. So for months, she couldn't eat food. Maybe like 3-4 days, she will manage to take. There's this biscuit, they used to have those things, okay biscuit. She managed to eat half of one and drink like half or one quarter of 29 siya. But you can eat to overfeed, you know. Hello? You can eat to, and you don't know it's the mercy of God. You sleep every night and you get up without medical assistance. And you don't know it's the mercy of God. The Bible says his mercies are new. His faithfulness never comes. So if God decides not to renew mercy, you wake up. And he says, I will show mercy to whom? That means you don't even qualify for it. Let me drive it home. You don't qualify to wake up. Hello? You don't qualify. How many of you qualify for the mercy of God? So, can we just, for the next few minutes, from the depths of our hearts, appreciate this God? If you want to do it in your dialect, do it. If you want to do it in tongues, do it. But can we just take some time and appreciate this God? It doesn't matter what you have gone through or what you think you've gone through. It doesn't matter. Can we just say thank you to this God who has been so faithful? Let's appreciate him. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Give him the praise. If that's all we do in this service, it's more than enough. Let's give him thanks. Thank you. appreciate this God. Thank him for life. Thank him for sustenance. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we've given thanks. You see, this morning I want us to praise God in a way we've not been accustomed to. Hallelujah. In a way that is different. Quickly go with me to Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Acts 13, verse 2. If you have a Bible, please open it. I know we have it on the screen, but I love it if you can follow me your Bibles. It says, as the minister told the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said. This morning I want us to minister to the Lord. Are we together? And I'll try my best to explain it. As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said. Now, I believe that one of the reasons for which the voice of the Holy Spirit is scarce in the church of God is because we don't usually minister to the Lord. Please don't get me wrong. There is a difference between the Word of God and the word of the Lord. Hello. I can preach, teach, expound on the word of God, and the word of the Lord is scarce. The Bible says in the latter times there will be a famine, not of bread nor of water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. We can spend an entire year digging through the scriptures and still not hear from God. Am I communicating? The truth is, God not the talk for many of our services. Let's tell ourselves the truth. God said to Jeremiah, he said, I've not sent these prophets, yet they prophesied. I've not sent them, I've not spoken to them, yet they have spoken. He says, if they had stood in my counsel, they would have caused my people to hear my words, and they would have turned them from their wicked ways. So one of the ways you know God is speaking to a people is that the lives of the people are changing Godward. They are turning from sin, turning from unrighteousness, turning from ungodliness. God can be speaking to us and will be telling people to continue in sin that the word of God will take over. Am I communicating? So I believe one of the reasons why the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit, is scarce amongst us is that we are not ministering to the Lord. Hello. The Bible says it is when they ministered to the Lord that he said. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are we still together? Glory to God. So the Holy Spirit has nothing to say until ministry to the Lord is carried out. Hallelujah. But the question is, what does it mean to minister to the Lord? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. What does it mean to minister to God? So let's look at the New Living Translation of Acts 13 verse 2, NLT. NLT says, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. So ministering to God has something to do with worship. But not just worship in general, but in how we worship. Is someone with me? Hello? Praise the Lord. In how we worship. Let's look at the Passion Translation quickly. Acts 13 verse 2, Passion Translation. He said, while they were worshiping, help me finish it. While they were worshiping us, so not all kinds of worship fits into this category. Not all kinds of worship is ministering to the Lord. It also means it's not every time we worship that God is ministered to. Amen. Hallelujah. So ministering to the Lord has to do with worship and in the way we worship. So the question is, it says they ministered or they were worshiping the Lord as what? As priests. So how do priests worship? What does it mean to worship as a priest? Because when we understand that, then we understand how to minister to the Lord. Are we good? Are we good? Please talk to me. That way I'll be sure you are not sleeping with your eyes open. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I used to have this cousin. Amen. She can sleep standing. With eyes open. Can be washing plates. Do enter trance. So one day she went to use the restroom and slept off. And it was night. And there was no lights. And how did we discover? Somebody else went to use the place. And was using it on top of her. Then somebody screamed. So please tell the person next to you, don't be like Carol. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we still together? So, what does it mean to worship as priest? Of course, we already see that not all worship falls into this category. So, what does it mean to worship as priest? Now, to help us understand this, we need to understand the ministry of priesthood. Are we good? We need to differentiate it from the other ministries. Praise the Lord. The truth is, the priesthood ministry was operational under the old covenant. In the new covenant, we are all priests. We're a royal priesthood. So this will also help us to understand our ministries as God's priesthood. Okay? Now, under the old covenant, there were essentially two kinds of ministries. The ministry of the priest and the ministry of the prophets. Hallelujah. What we have as apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, they all come under that nomenclature of prophets. Are we good? So we had the priest and we had the prophets. Praise the Lord. Now the role of the priest, understand this, the role of the priest was to officiate in order to propitiate deity. I'm giving you definition as it was put. The role of the priests, or the proper role of a priest in worship, was to officiate in order to propitiate deity on behalf of the worshiper. I will break down these words, okay? Whereas the prophet served as God's spokesman. Are we together? So the job of the prophet was to speak for God. Exodus chapter 4 verse 15. Let's look at that quickly. Exodus 4, 15 and 16. Hallelujah. Now this is God speaking to Moses when he was sending him to Egypt. He said, now you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. Now look at verse 16. So he shall be what? To the people. And it shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. What is the job of a prophet? To be God's spokesman. To say what God wants to say. Amen. Exodus chapter 7 verse 1 and 2. Quickly. I don't want to say things without going to the scriptures. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be what? Verse 2. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. So the job of a prophet is to be God's spokesman. Hello. Not to give you phone number. Not visions. The prophets of the Old Testament spoke the counsel of God. Many of the prophets of the Old Testament had no prophecies or visions. Not to even talk of the New Testament. So a prophet that looks at a perverse generation and tells them God is going to bless you is a false prophet. Am I talking to somebody? The job of the prophet is to deliver the heart of God to the people. That's why it says, I did not send them, yet they prophesied. If they had stood in my counsel, they would have turned these people away from their evil ways. Go check the Bible. Every prophet that was raised under the old covenant dispensation was raised to call Israel back to God. Not this one we are seeing today. Hello? You say you don't understand the way prophets understand. We have the scriptures. Are we good? Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, the job of the prophet is to speak for God. So, when we preach the word, we teach the word, what are we speaking? We are speaking for God. Amen. Hello. So your prophet can be a pastor. He can be an evangelist. Are we good? So the prophet speaks for God to the people, but the priest speaks to God for the people. Let me take it again. The job of the prophet is to speak to the people on behalf of God. But the job of the priest is to speak to God on behalf of the people. So while the prophet stands for God to the people, the priest stands for the people to God. Now, let's look at that word propitiate. Amen. That word appears nothing less than four times in the scriptures. I give you those passages. 1 John chapter 2 verse 2, 1 John chapter 4 verse 9 and 10, Romans 3 verse 25, Hebrews 2:17 talks about propitiation. Hallelujah. In 1 John 2:2, the Bible says Jesus himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the whole world. First John chapter 4 verse 9 and 10, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us first and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, what does it mean to propitiate? Amen. It means to win or regain the favor of a God on behalf of a person by doing something that pleases that God. So, for example, when they told us those days when we used to serve idols, when our fathers used to serve idols, they'll say, oh, you have to appease the gods. Hello? You have to bring a sacrifice to appease the God. That sacrifice is the propitiation. The act of that sacrifice is to propitiate, to placate an angered God. Are we communicating? So Jesus became our propitiation. He became the sacrifice that appeased the anger of God. Is that good? So to propitiate is to do what? To seek the favor of divinity by doing something that gladdens the heart of divinity. Hello? So bringing it to worship. He says they ministered to God how? By worshiping as priests. That means the purpose, the end goal of their worship was to gladden the heart of God. They were not worshiping to get something out of God's hands. They were worshiping to put a smile on God's face. Am I communicating? Their service, their worship to God was for him, not for them. They were fasting and saying, God, how can we make you smile? I asked our choir director a question. Was it on Christmas Day, one of the days? I said, look, I'm concerned about some things. When we praise God, who gets the joy? We or him? Who gets the excitement? When we are jumping, oh, hey, ha, man, what praise today was hot. Who is excited? Hello. Psalm 2. Quickly, Psalm 2. That's why I said we will praise God differently today. January till date, we've praised God. We've enjoyed the praise. Come on, let's be honest. We enjoy, two of us, we enjoy in so much now that the praise leaders are driven more to appease their audience than he who is to be praised. I was in a meeting and they said high praises and they started with such beat. And you see, look, when I'm not preaching, I want to be a church member. So when I get to those meetings, I dance. So I was getting ready to and they started singing this song and I was just looking at them. I was looking at them. give me chance, so I want to praise my God. And everybody went ecstatic. Excuse me, you want to and you are praising. I did the same thing. How can you call that? It's not even praise, talk less of high praise. And everybody's, I know we sing those songs in our congregations. So you're just telling the people, give me chance, I want to praise. When will you praise him? My sister is looking. You are trying to get it, eh? Oh yeah, come. Let me borrow you. Come. I used to be a teacher in school. What's your name, please?
Joy.
Joy. Oh, Joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, I can say Joy is beautiful. Right? Will I be praising you? If I'm saying Joy is beautiful, Joy is not. So I'm not praising you. Okay, Joy is no fine. If I'm saying Joy is beautiful, I'll be praising her, right? But if I now say, I want to say Joy is beautiful, am I praising you? I mean, when I come on for road, I won't tell Joy, say fine. Do you get it now? So give me a chance. Thank you. So praise worship has become dance hall. So the club where we not they go, where we supposed not repent from, we can't carry and come church, continue the club, and God is starved of praise. Psalm 2. Not vexed. Verse 11. So the point is, there are a number of these songs we sing. And you see, the people writing this song. So if you look at that one, give me a chance. So I want to praise my God. And they just, you have not praised him. You've just put beats together that are excitable to excite the people so that you can make some money. Now, I don't have a problem with that. You know why? We're created for music. So instead of listening to Fela and all those people, you can, but it should not be substituted as praise. Hello? So Psalm 2 verse 11, quickly. Serve the Lord and verse 12, kiss the Son lest he be angry with you and you perish in the way. Give me Amplified verse 11. Verse 11, please, quickly. Time is gone. Worship the Lord and serve him with reverence, with awe-inspired fear and submissive wonder. Rejoice, yet do so with what? So let me break it down. Hello. God is King. You must come into his presence with rejoicing. Hello. Because the truth is, listen to me, you can't go before divine with before kings with a long face. Remember Nehemiah? He said, I'd never been sad before the king. He was worried about his countenance, that he was sad. He was worried for his life, that if he entered the presence of the king with a long face, they might remove his head. So it's an insult to carry a straight face before a king. If you are feeling bad, keep your feeling bad at home when you come into the presence of a king. There are protocols to approach divinity. So he says, when you come into the presence of a king, no matter how bad you are feeling, you must what? Rejoice. But when you are rejoicing, remember you don't rejoice anyhow in front of a king. So I have a question to ask you. How many of you have ever been before a traditional ruler? Then when you get there, you carry your chair up and you are doing it like this. You say, afraid let you. what we call that grace. Rejoice with what? Trembling. Where did we find it that we should lift up our chairs like rascals? Come to think of it, think about it straight. Would you go to a conference and lift up your chair? Would you go to the King of England and you have audience with King of, and you raise up your chair? Even your village chief, it's your, the one here. You go to his palace and you lift up chair. Say you are praising him. Talk to me. Would you do that? Would it be considered an act of respect or disrespect? I'm just showing you how some of the things we do don't please him. How our worship at times has nothing to do with him. Are you with me? The priest must be conscious that his worship is to please his master. Are we good? Praise the Lord. They'll soon tell me that I've come again. You know, they'll say I'll preach praise and nobody can praise God. Don't worry, we'll praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 4, verse 23, 24. There are a lot of things the Holy Spirit has been ministering to me in the last couple of days. And I keep saying, Lord, how will we say these things? I had to get up, was it Friday night? I got up from bed about midnight, about 2, I think 1 a.m. because I couldn't sleep, to note some things that the Holy Spirit was saying to me and checking it with scripture, and I discovered that we're doing so many things that has nothing to do with him. So John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But the hour is coming and now is when what? So they are false worshippers. Hello? They are what? So when the true worshippers will worship how? Worship the Father how? Media. Now you are flying. No, I've not finished. Read the scripture with me. Amen. For the Father, is he looking for everybody to worship him? So even when it comes to praise, when it comes to worship, God has a protocol. Hello? See, like the psalmist says, if I were hungry, God says, if I were hungry, it's not you I will tell. I have myriads of angels worshiping me. So it's not like I'm starved of worship. But if you're going to worship me, you must adhere by protocol. You see, if the Father is seeking such who will worship him. Amen. 24. Hello? Yes. Must. So listen. It means you can worship in the flesh. Hello? He won't be saying you must worship in the spirit if people don't worship in the flesh. Worship can be in the flesh. Excuse me. Carrying chair up, is it spirit or flesh? You know some of our dance steps too. I was listening to somebody and he said something, and I've actually had that. There's this dance step, is it a man piano they call it? That when they are dancing, the eyes will roll inside. I used to look at those eye motions, and I used to remember how demons used to manifest when we are casting them. And I would just be wondering why somebody would be doing the eye like that. And I used to tell myself, this dance is demonic. So you now take the manifestations of demons to worship your God. When God said you are not to worship him in the way the nations that you dispossessed worship their God. He said never look into their ways to worship God. For they worshipped with things that are an abomination to God. Hello. You know, some of our dance steps, let's be honest too, let's tell ourselves the truth. Some of our dance steps, some sensitive brothers will be pleading the blood of Jesus. So am I telling you the truth? While we are dancing the dance inside church and say we are praising God, some people who are saying, "Blood, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I have made a covenant with my eyes, like Job said, not to behold iniquity." This thing, you know, there are dance steps that will provoke an earthly king. I'm just trying to show us our carelessness. See, I'm not out to judge, but I'm trying to show you that there is a worship that does not agree with God, so that we can give him the one that we agree. Are we good? Praise the Lord. Sorry, our guest, no vex. So at times my mouth they drive rough. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8:8 says, "Those who are in the flesh can never please God." They cannot please God. So no matter how good intentioned you are, if it is in the flesh, see, God understands. He doesn't understand. That's just the truth. God is not a respecter. But in every nation, such as walketh righteousness. See, what God follows are principles. That's why you can weep to death and God will not move. Hello? Oh, you didn't get that. If God used to respond because you have need, there will be no needy persons. You say, "My God shall supply all my needs." True. But there are principles to supply. So you feel that because you have a need, God will automatically move. It's not true. That's why some people are feeling frustrated. If you don't express faith in him in the need, he will be looking at you. So God does not respond to need, God responds to faith. So God follows principles. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. So he says, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I believe truth is talking about the word of God. Hallelujah. John 17:17, Jesus said, "Your word is truth." So worship or praise should follow scriptural standards. Hallelujah. Psalm, Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. I'll be out of your face very shortly. I didn't say you should not dance, so. But let's know who we are dancing to and dancing for. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, at times I have a problem with some things. Now, before I got born again, hi, the take party swear for me. Before I was born again, the take party swear for me. I used to go to party even on Monday. I don't have exam on Tuesday. But from the day I got born again, party became distasteful. Even friends, Christians who are doing their, is with reluctance I go there. And I spend a few minutes and I run away. I don't get it. You were in club before you got born again. You see the fine club. John, Matthew 15 verse 8 and 9. "These people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts, but their," verse 9 says, "and what?" That means if my heart is not in it, it's a waste of time. So if I'm worshiping God, it's just coming out from my mouth. It's not coming from my heart. It's not accepted. Out of the abundance of the the mouth. So my mouth should be saying what my heart is saying. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So it should be heartfelt thanks and gratitude to God. Amen. Psalm 33 verse 1. He said, I'll be out of thy face. Amen. Then we'll praise God. We can dance, we can shout, but let it be unto him. He said, rejoice, but rejoice how? With trembling. The Old Testament high priest, when he enters into the Holy of Holies, he doesn't walk anyhow. He walks circumspectively. He's careful how he moves, because one mistake, one is dead, and nobody can enter to bring him out. That's why they tie rope. You know, these Anglican priests are monks now. That rope they used to tie on their waist. They are trying to mimic it. It's only that those people's, their Old Testament was longer. So he has bells around his garment. So when he's walking, you hear kalam, kalam, kalam. Once they don't hear kalam, kalam again, they wait a while, kalam, kalam, they just draw the rope out. Why? You see, because the presence of God is not something to be toyed with. Hello. See, please hear me. How many of us want the glory of God in the church of God? You want it? Let me see. We need to start learning these things. I've said time and time again, what we call the grace of God in today's church is not grace. It's Ichabod. The glory has gone. But we'll come back. Because Jesus is coming for a glorious church. Amen. It's Ichabod. The glory has departed. And I'll show you why. When the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt into the wilderness, we normally refer to their stay as the church in the wilderness. The word church is a called out people. They were called out of Egyptian bondage to be a people of God. Now, you will understand, you will realize something, that anytime they messed up, what happens? What happened? Old Testament, when they misbehaved in the wilderness, what happened? They are cut short, sharp, sharp. And I hear people say that the New Testament is not like that. Who told you that? I hear people say that that was the law. No, that's not the law. That's the glory of God. Because God followed them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire. Whenever the tabernacle was settled, they would see the visible glory of God, the Shekinah of God. Now, they began to mess up. They began to sin. By the time we get to the book of Judges, how many of them were dropping dead for sinning? Hello? Did anybody drop dead? By the time we get to the time of the kings, did anybody drop dead? The prophets, did anybody drop dead? Why? God has a particular character. And what is that character? When men begin to sin, God goes back. He literally walks away. Why? Because if he stays, he will finish all of us. His eyes are of a purer sort to behold iniquity. Is someone with me? So along the line, they began to sin wantonly, and it looked like there was no God. God was there, but the glory had gone. The deliberate, definite, tangible presence of God was no longer with men. Then God now says, we will restore that glory, we'll restore that presence. Hallelujah. And that happened on Pentecost. And the glory of God came down upon men. And as it happened in the Old Testament, fire came down. He's a consuming fire. And after Pentecost, excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma, Ananias and Sapphira. Chikele lie. The lie where they talk past our own. What happened? They dropped. And as sin began to increase, God in his usual character walked back. Those who understand church history will tell you that there's a time they call the Dark Ages. In the history of church, it was as if church was hell. What was the scripture? But the glory will come back. In 2024, I want a situation when we praise God, there will be a visible cloud and his presence will be tangible in this place. But it's going to start by understanding to reverence his presence. So Psalm 33 verse 1, okay? 5 minutes or so, I'm out of your face. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. So consistently we are to rejoice, but there's a way we are to rejoice. Say, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is what? Praise is what? So there are people who will praise God, the praise is ugly. Hello? Now, when he says praise from the righteous, we are not talking about subsumed righteousness. Oh, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I agree. Hello? But practical righteousness. 1 John 3:7. Let no man deceive you. He that practices righteousness is what? Righteous. Let me demonstrate this for you. Let me explain this for you. Some years back, you know, I pastored in Yola for a while. At that time, it was a small church, and you know, in such places, we'll be counting on youth core members because they bring fresh. So you go to NYC camp, you just get as many. And there was this young lady who joined our choir then, and she had a good voice. Hello. But we knew little or nothing about her. So she came and she was singing, and we enjoying the song. Hello. One night vigil we're having, she started singing. I was praising God. And she's praising, the presence of God is building up. Then she will praise God, praise God, praise God. Then the anointing will just pick her, lift her from the ground, throw her into the air, slam her on the floor. She will manifest like a snake a while. Then she will gather herself, she will get up again. She will go and sit down, small, wait for the thing to calm down. Then she will take microphone again. She will pick microphone, the anointing will pick her again. Pia! It happened 4 times. She left the microphone and ran away. My mind didn't go anywhere. So I said, let me go and see sister, counsel and everything. The next day, Saturday, when I got to sister's lodging, there was some serious fights. Pot of soup was flying. All kinds of things were flying. What is happening? What is happening? Her copper boyfriend, hello, and her sugar daddy clashed and were fighting. Less than 12 hours before then, she was leading praise in the house of God. It's a praise from what? The righteous. Has she confessed Jesus? Oh yes. Eh? Is she the righteousness of God in Christ? Oh yes. But there was no practical demonstration of righteousness. What was the Holy Spirit saying? I don't want this praise. This one can't. I'm looking forward to the day. I told the workers that, let me tell you ahead, so that I can be pleading the blood of Jesus. Say you're not a divine prophet. I'm asking God for the gift of prophecy. But it's a different kind of prophecy. You know the kind of prophecy I want? You want to know? Make I tell you. Eh? You want to know? You sure? You just come to church, we just be preaching at this. Brother or sister, so and so. On Friday, so and so date. At so and so time. You wore a red dress. You came out of your house and entered a black car. Number so and so. With a married man. You went to this hotel and did XYZ. This is when you left. Would you be prophesying one by one like that? Bam. Now one time. Hello. That's the prophecy in the Bible. Where the prophet will say, are you not so person's wife? Why are you trying to deceive me? It's not this one they say, I see the Lord buying you, giving you a new car. No. And the man just committed adultery. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. That's my last scripture. 2025 will be hot. Amen. Righteousness will come back to the church. The glory of God will come back again. You see, what I'm saying is, just today, just let us just praise this God for himself. Our objective is not to enjoy the praise ourselves. We have been enjoying it. It's good. But for today, let our focus be to make God enjoy our praise. So Leviticus chapter 10 verse 3. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who do what? Yes. Yes. So for example, the sister I told you about, who was messing up and come to church because pastor does not know and takes the mic to lead praise, she didn't regard him as holy. Hello. What God is saying, you want to come near, remember I am, respect my holiness. Don't come to church like we've been hearing phones buzzing and be careless enough to be texting and receiving call and doing WhatsApp in my presence. Remember I am. Don't come to church and be chatting away. I didn't force you to come. But if you come, respect me. Honor my presence. Remind yourself you came before a holy God. Don't be careless, don't be reckless in my presence. Don't come late. I know Gen Z might not know this, but there was a man, I don't know if he's alive now, Commodore Ebute Ukiwe or so, Ikiwe, one time vice president under military regime. Who knows that name? He was unceremoniously sacked under IBB. He was IBB's number two man. Who knows why? He came for a function late. I think he had a problem with his vehicle. He got there after the CNC had landed. IBB had come, then he came. He was fired, retired immediately. You don't do that. And then God is in the house. You are holy that inhabits the praises of your people Israel. Then after praise, you just stroll into church. We must be worshiping you, not God. Enter into his gates with what? See, after praise worship, the gates have been closed. You just came in, but you are not inside. We are seeing you physically, but in the kingdom, you're not there. Let's respect God. Let's honor his presence. Listen, if God shows up in church, all these problems we are crying about, they will go. Why we still carry problems out of church is we never met God. You might have met the man of God, but not the God of the man. God, I don't want you to meet me. I want you to meet Jesus. They say we want to see Jesus. They were not looking for Andrew or Philip. I was in a meeting. I struggled through Saturday to cast out a particular demon. The demon refused to go. I got tired and I left the demon. I went to sleep. This one does not go except by fasting and prayer. So some won't go. Hello? Let me leave the demon before he start asking me. You are trying to cast me out where you don't chop food. Before I was not eating. No, before, when I'm going to minister, I will not eat while I'm ministering. One day I was ministering, somebody manifested and cleared me from the back. My head hit the floor. So from that day, I said any fast will break before the meeting so that I have some small weight. So I'm trying to cast out this demon, and the demon refused to respect my anointing and refused to go. It's 11 p.m. I must preach on Sunday morning. I am exhausted. Even the food I ate was beginning to purge me. So I respected myself and said, the grace. I'm not afraid to say where my limit stops. Amen. Wisdom is profitable to direct. So the next morning, God told me to speak on the fullness of joy. It was a three-day meeting. And I said, how do we get fullness of joy? In his presence, there is what? He said, provoke my presence. So I preached, and we provoked the presence of God. In short, the thing came, boom, hits the place. Now it's not me doing anything, it's God doing everything. He will tell me I'm going to do this, but before it has come out from my mouth, it has happened. So that same demon that was forming strong man, proving tough, I didn't call his name. The demon manifested himself and left on his own. I said, why was I wasting my time? I should have simply invoked the presence of God. What am I saying? In his presence, there is what? When you get into his presence, the thing that took your joy must go. The reason is fullness of joy. Everything that causes sorrow, whether it's demonic, whether it's whatever it is, it just has to fizzle. The mountains melt and skip in his presence. So whatever is standing your way, all you need is to get into his presence. But the problem is we come to club, not to God. We just come to have a good time. So even when the choir is trying to stir up repraise, I better see the one where we go dance. So it's not about him, it's about us. And we go back empty. But you won't go back empty today. you'll go back fulfilled. Amen. Your joy will overflow. Amen. You see, that thing that has refused to give way, it will go. It will go. Just focus on him. Let him know that, look, today I have come to love you. I have come to praise you. I have come to do it in a way that you know it's not about anybody. It's just about you. I'm going to thank you for what you've done. And even what you've not done, I will still thank you, because I know that your promises are yea and amen. That what you said you will do, you will do. So let's just make it about him. For once, forget yourself. Forget your need. Forget your circumstance. And just thank this God that spared you, that saved you, that delivered you. See, that thing you are crying that he did not do, it might just be deliverance. Oh God, you should have done this thing by now. Maybe if you had gotten, you'd be dead. And he delayed it to spare your life. Let's rise to our feet. If you want to clap, clap. Don't threaten. It's going to be about him. Him and him alone. Let our praise be to him. Are we good? Listen, you're not born again. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I don't know how else to tell you. You'll just be singing. It won't register. Praise from the righteous is beautiful. From the unrighteous is ugly. They smell. For want of a better way to put it, when you are not born again, you are trying to praise God. They'll say, who'll be that way they see when I brushed it? Or better still, your praise will be put in somebody else's account, because it can't register on your own account. You don't even have an account. So you are here, you're not born again, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'd like to lead you to know this Jesus. Amen. This Jesus that has made our lives worthwhile. You know, this year 2024 marked 30 years of being born again for me. 30 years. And I've not had a reason to turn back. So I can tell you, he's a good God. He's seen me through every challenge, every difficulty. The things that should have killed me, made me. The things that should have destroyed me, lifted me up. That's the beauty about knowing this Jesus. So you want to give your heart to Jesus, you've not done that. Just lift up your hand wherever you are, so that we can pray with you. Is there anybody like that? Okay. So we're going to praise God. Amen. Koya, here as I called you. I know you are looking very fine. What makes praise really worth it is the words, the lyrics. It's not the beat. It's not the beat. When these praise singers are singing, it's not the beat, it's what they are saying in the song that turns the head of the person they are singing for, that makes them begin to praise. And also, so praise is about the words. The words must extol him. The words must talk about him. That's why, give me chance, I want to praise. It's not a praise song. Ben lo, ben lo, ben lo, ben. It's joyful noise. There's no praise in it. It doesn't glorify God. It doesn't please him. It makes us happy, but it doesn't please him. But want to say things to him. Things to him that will blow his head. Amen. The psalmist says, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you were blessed. For inquiries, please reach us on our helpline 090-4822-4137. We are located at SCC Road, adjacent Detims Plaza, Ushafa, Abuja.